Message that I've never preached, but I've wanted to for like 2 years. I've had an opportunity a couple times to preach this, but God would not allow me to preach it. It's been a great help to me, and today it's going to be a good help to us. If especially there's two gentlemen in the room that it should help quite a bit, Ed and Eli. So y'all take very good notes or thoughts on this right here. This would be a big help to you guys, or it would have been, and it might. It's going to help the rest of us because I'm going to put it in a different context for us. Let's write it down as like old church, new church. Whew. Old church, new church. The title of the message is Old No Name. 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13. I'm sorry. I'm talking fast and probably leaving half of it out. 1 Kings 13. What did I say? Okay, 1 Kings 13. All right. It would do you good to go back, read 1 Kings 12, give you some more context on who I'm talking about when we're talking about the king, Jeroboam. But we're going to, the title of the message is Old No Name for this case. If I was talking to Eli and Ed, I'd say young preacher versus older preacher. You can figure out which one I'm talking to on the both ends. I don't know. It'd be like I'm the younger and Eli's the older, right? But I whispered to Eli at the very beginning, I said, listen to this because this has helped me. This has been a help to me over the last, 10 years. Every time I've read it, it's helped me. But the last 2 years, I've been working on trying to preach it. And it'd be a good pastor's conference message. It'd be a good message and for different kind of settings. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's like, preach it tonight. And I'm like, oh, right. So y'all are big-time guinea pigs. Y'all ready? Have y'all found it? Let's go. We're going to try to get the whole chapter in. This is going to be a framework of a message. This is not the whole thing. Hopefully we can get enough in it that you'll walk away from this and be blessed. Yeah, behold, there came a man of God. Underline that man of God right there. This is the young prophet, okay? Young man of God. He's brand new. Nobody knows him. He doesn't have a name. His name won't be mentioned in this whole chapter. Amen? That's a good thing. And it's all right if you make it through this whole life as a person of God and nobody knows your name, but everybody knows Jesus' name. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. The king was standing by an altar that he had erected. He had erected two of them, one there and one in Dan. I'm pretty sure Dan. And there were two golden calves. That sound familiar to you? They had already done this before. They're doing it again. A lot of sin, a lot of things that we see, it's cyclical. It comes back around. You'll know that. It'll come back around. But all right, so they were at these altars and they were sacrificing a lot of weird stuff. Even it leads itself to think that they're doing human sacrifice on this altar. They're doing a lot of weird things. And if you don't know this by now, if you're not living in 2022, we do a lot of weird things in this country. Things 20 years ago, if somebody would have told you 20 years ago some things that would be said, you would go, that's insane. That won't be said. I'll give you one right off the jump, okay? And y'all can all kind of hold brace right here. A man can get pregnant. It's insanity. That's insanity. All right? So, I mean, but that in the world's logic today, in certain circles, you could say that. You could say that can't happen. They go, you're crazy. It can't. Okay? So we do some weird things now, things that we would think unthinkable. Things I would have loved, I would absolutely love to go back 100 years, go into a little old Baptist church and go, in 100 years from now, people are going to say men can get pregnant. They would say, get out of here. Get out of here. You're crazy. That's not possible. But Jeroboam was worshiping on this altar, sacrificing on this altar in verse 2, and he cried. Now, look, this is the young prophet. Get this. I want you to hear this. This is the young prophet. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. God gave him a word against the altar, the calves, and the wickedness that the king was doing and the people were doing. He gave him a new message. Preach against that altar. Preach against that false worship. It's a new message. There were already prophets there. There were already people there doing. They were supposed to be doing that, but they were not. So the no-name new preacher came along, stood at that altar, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places and the burnt and the burnt incense upon thee, and the men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. He gave him a word. He said, this altar will be destroyed. All the people who are worshiping upon this stuff and the false prophets that you have made, they will be destroyed as well. It was a powerful message. It was a poignant message. It was a message that would send a reverberation from the top of the country down to the lowest person. We have that same message today. Repent. Repent. We don't preach it as much as we used to. We have a lot of preachers and a lot of ministries and a lot of false prophets who will preach today me-centric messages. Messages that make you're like little gods. Like you're the most important thing. If God has done something, He wants to bless you, use you, take you, give you, send you. And that's all great, but to this one point. God is the main thing in our ministry. Jesus is the hero. Our lives can be used, whether we'll be destroyed or we'll be blessed beyond measure, to His glory. Paul said it best, I have learned how to be abounding and I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to have everything and I've learned how to have nothing. And still, God is good. You need to realize that some of the greatest times you'll ever have with God is times when you have nothing. Amen? And if you want a comparison to that, God always puts His comparison into weddings and marriages. A lot of times when you're first coming up in marriage, you don't have as much. You don't know as much. Here's what I used to say we used to get by. We were getting by on hot dogs and love. Amen? There was nothing better in our whole lives than a chili dog and us being together. Amen? If you came to the Shelton home back in the early years of our marriage, hot dogs, chili, and mustard. And we were happy. Amen? We were having the times of our lives. Didn't know we didn't have anything, but we had each other. That's the same thing with God. A lot of times you think, man, I've got to have this. I've got to be in this ministry. I've got to be doing this. I've got to be in this church. We've got to be doing this to have God. No, you don't. Usually, when you're at your lowest in ministry, when you don't think you have anybody, when all the room is emptied and it's all by yourself, you can have a big time with God all alone. Amen? We're getting off. I thought I was going to get this message all framed up and down. I thought we'd be like 8 verses in by now. And He gave a sign, and that same sign, He said it's going to be, those ashes are going to be poured out. Verse 4, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God. This is so good. When he heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, arrest that man. And his hand, which he put forth against, dried up so that he could not pull it out again to him. Whoo! Ain't that fun? The king, he preached such a powerful word, and God was so on it that when the king looked out and said, arrest that guy right there, his hand dried up like a dead man's hand, and he couldn't pull it back. Boy, that's powerful, ain't it? This guy don't have a name. Nobody knows him. He's just showed up out of nowhere, and he's preaching a message that should have been already been preached, already been said, already been done, but nobody was doing it. So God arranged for somebody to come. You might want to write this down. If you think you are so big and so awesome and you won't do what God wants you to do, He will send somebody else. He will send from somebody that you don't know, that nobody else knows, and they'll have the right message, and you know what? It will reverberate, and it'll have power, and it'll have a presence of God in it. And you'll be sitting over here worried about this title and that title and this office and that church and these people and this little deal thing. This guy come for one reason. Golly, I hope, man, I want to meet this fella. He just walks in and says, that altar's going to bust with ashes. You, if we don't repent and turn, this thing's going to go bad, and everybody that's a part of this is going to die and die miserably. Amen? And here's what the sign's going to be. And then the king points at him and says, you're going to be under arrest. You might want to write this stuff down. Preaching the message of Jesus Christ and repentance and the gospel might get you arrested. But you better be willing to not change message for your own safety. And that's going forward. The new church is going to have to be something that's not afraid to get in trouble. And I don't know if that's going to be popular. He could not pull it back. He couldn't pull his hand back. Verse 5 gets good. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. What he said came true. I'm going to give y'all something right here. I'm going to help you so much. I want to help you a lot right here. If you run into somebody who says they are speaking for God, they give you a prophecy, and this time, this is going to happen. Write this down when I say this, okay? If somebody tells you that the end of time is coming, at when the calendar turns this date, the world's going to end, gladly receive that information. Say, thank you, brother, or thank you, sister. Put a date down, write it down, put their name by it. And if that day clicks over on the calendar, the next time you see that person, you say, you're a false prophet. Never tell me anything like that again. I'll never listen to you. And you'll be on good footing. Amen? That'll stop some of the spiritual nonsense. Amen? I've had some people tell me. They've done some crazy things. Oh, God told me last night, woke me up in a dream. He told me this was going to happen. That's going to happen. Supreme Court, president, da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, buddy. All right. This didn't happen. That didn't happen. This didn't happen. Don't ever call me again. Appreciate you. Love you. Move on. Amen? Does that help somebody? Hey, I'm being honest with you. There's a lot of people out there saying that God said, and if God said it, it's going to come to pass. If it don't come to pass, God didn't say it. So guess what? This altar bust out. The ashes roll out, and here's the man of God. He's the man of God. Man, are y'all digging this story? I'm glad this is in here. It's an obscure passage. It don't make any sense why it's there, but it's starting to make more sense to me as time is rolling on. The altar rent, verse 6. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, ain't this sweet? Entreat now the face of the Lord. Entreat, what's this right here? Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. I like this guy. He's not me. Amen? He's not me. I'd have preached a powerful word of it like, I told you, buddy. But well, look at this spirit. Look at the spirit on this young guy. Look at him. He don't have a name. He ain't got a ministry. He's just passing through. He tried to give him a fair warning. They didn't take it. And here's the man of God, the king. Please, I made a mistake. You know what he did? He's operating in the sweetest spirit there is. He prayed for the person who seemed like they were an enemy to him. Was Jeroboam his enemy? No. Jeroboam, no human being is your enemy. They might be acting up. They might be acting out for the enemy, but they are not your enemy. Praise God, you should pray as hard as you were preaching the truth to them. You should be praying that they get the healing they need. God's good. I can leave right now. And I'm being honest, I can leave right now for myself. I've read this a million times. I've been preparing this for 2 years, and that right there just helped me a lot tonight. Because the same persons you're going to war with sometimes are going to be the same people you're going to need later on. They're going to need a king who's heard the word, seen the word, and been touched by the word. Even if it doesn't change them. Even if it doesn't change them. When this guy leaves, when this young prophet leaves, everybody's going to know that there was a prophet who preached, a prophet who prophesied, and a prophet who prayed for healing and received it. Golly, but can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. Man, that's good. I was thinking about there when I was preaching that big thought coming to the Spirit right there. Listen, your biggest enemy, you want to write this down. If you don't want to write this down, when you're going through a lot of trouble 5-6 years from now, write it down then, okay? Your biggest enemy in this church or any other church, we're just talking about Wednesday night group, the biggest enemy in this church you have as a person is yourself. Amen? It is. The next biggest enemy you have is the devil. You'll be fighting yourself and the devil your whole life if you be real honest with yourself. Amen? There's me so many times I get down to the root cause, I'm like, oh, it's a me thing. Oh, it's a devil thing. Amen? Just remember that. That Jeroboam was not his biggest enemy. His biggest enemy, his biggest enemy was the devil and himself. But he prayed for him. But ain't that good? I love that. And the king answered in verse 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home. Some things have changed here. The king said unto him, said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Almost in jail. Now he's talking about reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wert to give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat. God, this is so good. Thank you, Jesus. The bread, nor drink the water in this place. Eli, write that one down. It would be better for you to trust totally on God than to trust on anything that a man can give you. As a church ministry, we have, it's almost like a new vision, new church. We've been around, the church has been around for a while. We've got a new vision, a new thought, a new way we're going to go. Guess what? We're going to get tempted to pull back to something that would make us comfortable. I'll say that again. I feel it. We're going to be tempted to settle. You're always, as a Christian, tempted to settle back down, worry about yourself, worry about the things of you. Don't worry about the people going to hell. Don't worry about the community. Don't worry about anybody dying lost. Don't worry about your family lost. Worry about you. Get concerned about yourself. We're going to build a 400, 500, 600 seat capacity building right over here. And you know what? The devil will tell us it would be just fantastic to have 150 in there. It would. 150 people just like us. We can sit in there and be comfortable. And if anything ever bad happens again, we can spread out real wide. We won't have to worry. That's not my plan. That's not my thought. I hope in about 8 years or 10 years we're looking over going, man, we ain't got room to spread out here either. And that's scary to some of y'all because some of y'all are still going, I don't know if I want a big church. Too late! It's too late! There's 1,600 square feet. I don't know if that's absolute truth on the numbers. It's a football field. The stage over there is bigger than this room. If we put that stage in this room, we'd have to walk edge around it. Too late. It's too late. If we wanted that, we might as well stayed over here and got real mean and ornery and run some people off. I said, he was charged. He didn't take that. Well, listen to what he said about God told him. Listen, always, Eli, listen. Ed, listen. Everybody in here, listen. I feel like I'm just preaching to two people plus me. He listened to this. God gave him a charge. Always go with God, no matter if it makes sense every other which way. If it makes sense on paper, financially, emotionally, whatever. If God gives you a charge the other way, go with God every single time. You'll never regret it. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return again by the same way thou camest. Man, I wish I had somebody tell me that about 15 years ago. Don't drink there, don't eat there, and go out a different way. Come in one way, leave another. Man, what a word. This young prophet, I feel like he's like a gunfighter. He just walks into town, boom, 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 boom. Knock them down, shoot them out, heal them up, guts go, rawhide. Right? We need a sheriff in this town. We need a spiritual giant like you. Come on, stick around. No way, no how, I'm gone. Ain't that sweet? And there dwelt an old prophet. No, go back up to verse 10. So he went out another way and he returned, not by the way that he came to Bethel. Praise God, he was obedient. He didn't come in the same way he left. He walked right out the door and headed out. Big with God right there. Big. We can make mistakes, but man, he's doing good right now. Verse 11, here's where that older prophet, that older church comes in. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto their king, them they told also their father. And their father said unto them, what way he went he? Which way did he go? What a question. The old man of God didn't have a clue what God was doing. Didn't have a word for God. Didn't have a word for the king. Didn't have a word for the people. Didn't have a word for the false idols. Didn't know which way the new prophet came in. Didn't know how the new prophet left. So he had to ask somebody else. A lot of churches and ministries right now are going, where are we at? What are we doing? They're compromising. They're giving up. They're turning to the Lord. They're turning to the world. Let's compromise and make the world happy. Try to make them understand that we're okay. And just watering down the message and watering down the church and the ministry. They don't have a clue. He said, that prophet don't have a clue what God's doing. His boys came home. If his boys had been serving a spiritual father, they would have had a good word from God, but they had to come home and they were, man, I bet that burnt him up. Golly, Charlie, this would get me if this was my kids. God, Dad, there's a prophet in town. There's a prophet in town. A man of God. A real one. A real man of God. Came in and spoke against all the stuff we've been doing wrong. The king got mad at him, pointed at him. And that man, he spoke, the king's hand withered. And that guy was so awesome with God and so humble in spirit, he prayed for the king to be healed. And he did. And then the king offered him a bunch of stuff that you would have probably took, Dad. You would have probably took it. You've took a lot since to shut up about repentance. And them two idols they built and the altar they built right here. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the word Bethel, where I met God. Where I met God. That's where God meets with Israel. That's where Bethel is. Daddy, he didn't even take the bribe. He didn't even take the bribe. Took a lot, but he didn't take that. And he said, then he said, God told him not to eat here, not drink here, and leave anyway. Come, what's going on, right? Which way did he go? For his sons had seen what the man of God, where the man of God went, which he came from Judah. In verse 13, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So he saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that cometh from Judah? And he said, I am. He's sitting under the tree, because that's you. Two things are burning me up about this. It's like, why? Why did he stop? Was he tired? Did he feel like, man, I'm far enough away? There's a message right here. There's a message right here for our church too. Have we gone too far? Have we gone far enough? Have we got away from the wicked? Are we far enough away? You'll never be far enough away. You'll never be far enough away. You'll never be strong enough. I remember early in ministry, I was in this church just in my very early parts, first 3 years. I've been preaching about a year, and we had a men's meet. We're sitting in a room, and all these men come into a room. They're all senior leaders and preachers and guys have been in church for a while, and there's a young guy coming around. He was had hair down about right here, and he was really trying to learn how to be a Christian. And he come in the room, and he said, "I'm really struggling, guys." And I said, "What with?" He said, "I'm struggling with listening to certain kinds of music and watching certain kind of things on TV." And I'm like, "Good." That's what I was thinking. But I was so young, I didn't know what to say, you know. I was like, "All right, somebody in here, some of these older guys, like, you know, fire up here." So the oldest guy in the room, the most mature pastor, preacher in the room says, "Hey, don't worry, buddy. You keep seeking the Lord, and he'll show you what to listen to and what to see." I'm like, "That's good. That's pretty good." And then he follows it up with this. And maybe one day when you're strong enough, you can go back to doing some of those other things too. I'm sitting there, my blood. I'm like, "Don't say nothing, don't say nothing, don't say nothing." I looked at him, I finally looked at him, I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "If you ever get over doing any of that stuff, just let it all go." "Let it all go. Has it ever helped you?" He's like, "No." "Let it go. Just let it go. Don't run back to it. You'll never be strong enough." I can feel some conviction in the room. We'll have altar call at the end, I promise. I'm just telling you, we're never strong enough. We aren't. When you think, "Okay, I can handle a little more, I can go back and kind of hang out. I won't go as deep. I won't go as far. I won't go as..." That the devil, he loves that. The devil's like, "Good, good. That's, I feel like we're back in the eighth grade again. Yeah, play with me. I'll play with you. I'll take you further than you wanted to go." Amen? Because you know what? That's how our flesh operates. We just can't handle a little. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. He rode, and when after the man of God found him sitting under the oak, he said unto him, "Art thou the man of God?" Verse 10, he said unto him, "Come home with me and eat bread." Verse 15, what is that? Come eat bread with me. The older preacher, what's he doing? Come eat bread with me. Come to the spiritual house. So I'm the old minister. I'm the old church. I'm the old way. Just come back to with me. And he said, "I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink no water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." And he said unto him, "I am a prophet. Also thou art, as thou art. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." Why? Why did he lie? It burned him up. God was no longer talking to him. He had settled. He had got used to doing the old thing. And he wanted something. He wanted to come back. And you know what? In ministry, in church, and everything, there are going to be people who say, "Y'all are going too far. Y'all are going the wrong way. Do regular church. Come back." But if we believe the Lord could come back anytime, we must get about God's business of preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel truth. We've got to get invested in other people other than ourselves. We're saved. We're sanctified. We're going to heaven. Let's take as many people as we can with us. This would have changed Jerusalem. This would have changed Judah. He said, "Come back with me. Let me come here." God, an angel showed up at my house and told me, who's to blame right here? Both. Because if God had spoken to him the first time, he would have filled him in the second time. Guys, don't let anybody tell you God told you something and then all of a sudden you just go on secondhand word. You've got a relationship with God. God opened that portal up for you. He tore that holiest of holies. If somebody says, "God told me to tell you to get this," you go to God and say, "Is that true? I want to know for myself." So we went back with him and did eat bread in the house and drank water. Ain't that something? I bet that was miserable. I wonder if the whole time he was sitting there going, "Well, this is how we preach, and this is how we've done. Yeah, we've compromised, and we've lost some people. But you know what? We've got a pretty good standing with the king. We make a little bit of money. We got our own little place here. The church is doing fine. We're good. They're not killing us. We're not destroying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've run out all the real priests, the Levites, they're all gone. They went and got the lowest of the low to be prophets and preachers. I feel like that's what's going on today. They're worshiping two false idols in places that God has no business in because they're too lazy to go to the house of God in Jerusalem. They would rather go worship what they want. Sounds familiar. We'll go to two other places and worship what we want. It's a really good system. I bet the young prophet was sitting there going, why would God bring me back here to this? I didn't want this. I never wanted that. I never wanted, man, I remember getting first called to preach. I didn't want to do anything but preach. I didn't, all I wanted to do was somebody would go, you want to preach? Yes, here's a microphone. Good. Then they would take the microphone away from me. You're too loud. I'm like, good, you're right. I heard people tell me, if you'll settle down, you'll be a great pastor. If you would just settle down a little bit, some big, big churches will come your way. I'll not. I have to a certain degree just because I'm getting older. But I guarantee you, that's he felt that. He felt like, oh, I've got, why am I sitting here? Why am I sitting with this man? And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. See a transfer? See it? Who's God talking to now? He's talking to the older prophet. Oh, what a big cost. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. What happens, this guy's terrible, but right there's the biggest penalty there is. Before this, that man only knew one thing. God speaks to me and I operate for God. Now he's sitting in a room with a prophet who's wicked and God's speaking to him and not him. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's a scary place. Scary place to be. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of that which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, for the carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drank that he saddled for him an ass to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he had gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken unto him. And as he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and he saddled him, and he went out and found the carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. Wow, that's amazing, ain't it? I'm working on the premise. I'm working on some things in there with the donkey and with the lion and with the prophet. But it's ain't it funny of their behavior? You've got a killer, you got a beast of burden, and you got a man of God. And none of them are doing anything they're supposed to be doing. The man of God is just as dead as the old prophet. He is just as dead. And there are worse things than dying. There are worse things than dying. I believe God had a long talk with this man when he got into glory or into eternity. Probably said, I told you. I had to take you off the scene because I told you. You settled. I brought you up to do something different the way I told you to do it, and you settled. I didn't want another prophet. I didn't need an old prophet. I needed somebody who was going to be totally obedient to me. And you settled. I love how the old prophet, the old way, I love its response. just a dead young prophet. I know exactly who it is that laying out there on the highway. I know exactly who it is. It was that young prophet I brought back here. He's just as dead as I am. Our ministries are both dead. I'm kind of satisfied by that. Man, ain't that something? When people ask me, why do you want to go? Why do you want to go so far? Why do you want to do this? I don't want to do anything. I want to go after God. I want to chase after God. I want to chase after God's calling. I want to chase after God's purpose. I want to do exactly what God wants us to do. And you know what God doesn't want us to do? Settle. He does not want us to settle just to be a church. He wants us to reach a lost and dying world with the message and to never settle. And if we do, we'll die out just like every other ministry and every other church. And they'll all just say, well, I heard Flat Top Church is really down after they built that building. I heard they really went under after they did this or that. Because we settled. We're not going to settle. We're going to go after it. You know what I wish? You know what I wish? Gary, I know it ain't in there, but you know what I wish would have happened? If you'd say, hey, Kevin, what would you have liked to happen? I wish the old prophet would have rode out and found him under the tree and said, are you that young prophet that just preached that fireball message and then the altar fell out and the king's hand withered and you prayed for him to be healed back? Yeah, that was me. Where are you going? I want to go with you. I'll carry your bags. I'll wash your donkey. I'll keep your bed. I'll make sure you're taken care of. Just let me go along with you that maybe I'll get a word from God and maybe God will get back to using me. But if he don't, it will be good to be around something living instead of something dead. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned, and not from his evil ways, but made again of the lowest of the people, priest of the high places, whosoever would. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. You say, wait a minute, what happened? The revival was killed by the old prophet. Jeroboam's heart and ways could have been turned. But when the young prophet died, and the old prophet said, that's where we'll be buried together. Two dead ministries laying side by side. The kingdoms of Judah and Jerusalem went downhill even further. They were on the brink. Guys, listen, this is where I'm going to stop. They were on the brink of revival. They were on the brink of change. And somebody said, whoa, let's settle up. Let's just come back and eat bread the way we did, drink water the way we did, and maybe you can settle down the way we settled down. And you know what? There won't be no lions, and there won't be no beast of burdens, and there won't be a fresh word of God either. It'll all not be working the way it's supposed to. This is that message right there is the newest, freshest word that God has spoken to me in years, and I love it. I love it. There's points in there already that it's just to hear it come out has helped me. That will change what we're doing here. The overarching message tonight for us, Wednesday night, this is the core of the church. Wednesday night's core. Don't settle. If God shows you something and you want to do it, go after it. As a church, we need to, if God gives us a vision and a sight to do something, put it on our heart, let's go after it and do it. Put both hands to it and go after it. And when somebody says, settle down, back up, come back, let's say, join us. Join us. Guys, there's a lot of information coming out about this church. Man, there's good things going on here. Amen? The devil's doing his work too, but you know what? Don't expect anything less than that. If you want to be real cool when the devil attacks and whatever he tells you to do, do opposite of that, because he's a liar. So if he says quit, don't quit. If he tells you to be quiet, don't be quiet. If he tells you to be loud, quiet down. That's all it is. Let's all stand. We'll pray and get out.